Now, I don't know if that doesn't depict humanity. I don't know what does, right? Well, with that, I just want to say good morning again. Now, for as long as I can remember, I have loved Christmas. But I should actually say that I've loved most things about Christmas because there is one part that, quite frankly, has annoyed me, and it still does to this day, and that annoying thing is the wait, right? The wait for many things at Christmas. For example, when I was young, I couldn't wait for some of the Christmas specials to come on TV. You know, whether that be Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer or Frosty, and back then what you had to do is you had to look in the newspaper, right, to see when that thing would be on and which of the three channels it would be on, and dude, if you missed it, you missed it, okay? There was no on-demand television. So the family, you know, would typically look for their, I don't know, their favorite Christmas special. Maybe, you know, I don't know if it's Charlie Brown, that Christmas special. I don't know what your favorite is, but they would look for that, right? And they'd be like, okay, Friday night at 8, right? So at Friday night at 8, everybody would gather around the TV for that half-hour special. Unspoken, but really saying, the wait is over. And in my case, and I bet many of yours, I also couldn't wait for Christmas morning. Now, some of you know, but some of you do not, that I am the youngest of three children. My brother is 12 years older than I am, and my sister is 10 years older than I am. So with that said, they didn't live at home much of my late preteen and teen years, which left me on Christmas morning waiting for them, right, to do some of their Christmas stuff at their homes before any Christmas stuff started in my home growing up. Though I would still, you know, I'd still wake up extra early on that day, and I'd even wake my parents up extra early on that day, though all that could be done for what seemed like hours until my siblings and families got there, all that could be done was this pacing, right? This pacing back, this pacing forth from the Christmas tree to gaze at all those presents to the window to see, are they here yet? And then back to the tree to gaze and wonder at the presents. And if they weren't here yet, if I went to the window and they weren't here, it was followed by, Mom, can you please call them, right? So this went on until they were all there. And then when that happened, when they arrived, my inner self could finally exclaim, ah, the wait is over, right? Now, with that said, I'm sure that you can relate to expectantly waiting at this time of year. Whether that means waiting for the annual Christmas parties that you so much enjoy, or whether that means eating the food, the good food, the not so good for you food, but the good food that you normally don't get to eat. I look forward to some of that, right? Or maybe for you, the wait is to see family that you rarely get the opportunity to see, or maybe for you, it's waiting for your kids to get home from college, or maybe it's even waiting for your grandchildren, right, to be there. Point being, this time of year, we just wait. We wait with a great anticipation, and then the day comes, doesn't it? And then it goes, and the wait is what? It's over. And waiting is just part of life. And sometimes you and I, we wait for good things, like some of the things I just mentioned. Well, at other times, waiting can be painful, right? Or waiting can be very scary. But always, okay, as you and I wait, there comes a point where that wait is in fact over. Now, with that, as we look at the Christmas story this morning, there was a ton of waiting. I mean, as we read in the scriptures this morning, the time and day of Jesus' birth included much waiting. In fact, let's reread some of it. Let's unpack some of it this morning. Let's look at Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own towns to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. Now, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. So this day, the day referred to here as the time that came for the baby to be born, well, that began, right, with Mary and Joseph waiting for just that, for the baby to be born. And they had likely waited, per normal pregnancies, for about 9 months, right? Yet, church, this pregnancy, it was anything but a normal pregnancy. For the child that Mary was carrying was conceived by the Holy Spirit of God, and she was a virgin. And this became known before she was even married. She was just engaged to Joseph. What many would call and deem scandalous and treat them as such. All that to say, these 9 months in the waiting, they were not an easy 9 months. And in fact, early on, Joseph, he was going to separate from Mary quietly. But into that, the scriptures, the Bible tell us this in Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 20. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So, church, this was no ordinary pregnancy, and this was no ordinary child. And any somewhat knowledgeable to the plan of God, the promised word of God found in the Old Testament Jewish person at that time of Jesus' birth, they would have known, okay, that the angel was speaking of the Messiah. The Messiah. And this word Messiah, it comes from the Hebrew word meaning the anointed one or the chosen one. In other words, it embodies the Jewish hope, church, of a coming deliverer predicted in the Old Testament prophecy. So in layman's term, my favorite form of term, by the way, the angel basically told Joseph, this baby will be the most special baby ever to be born. So I'm sorry, mom or dad, little Johnny or Janie ain't it, okay? And neither were you, and neither were I. The most special baby to be born was, is, and always will be Jesus. Yet, do you know what? You, each and every one of you, you are prized. Each and every one of you are prized in his sight. He loves you. But anyway, back to Mary and Joseph. They knew a thing or two about waiting, about anticipation, and about the excitement of all of that. And they were also, they were all too familiar with the gut-wrenching, the belly-churning waiting that many of us have experienced, but they were in tune with that plus some, with everything they were going through. As were the Jewish people of the day, waiting for their Messiah to be born. And then the time comes in Bethlehem, and the baby is born, right? And what is it, church? The wait is over. The wait is over. Jesus is born, and Mary wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger. Now, when each of my children were born, I've just got to say the emotions, they were overwhelming. And I can confidently imagine that the same was true of Mary and Joseph. I mean, what a precious moment. Think of it. Think of it. Holding their newborn, right? You remember that if you have children, holding their newborn. And not just any newborn, but the newborn Messiah. And they look into his face, and he into theirs, and their hearts are racing. And she gently places this child in the manger. Now, as I mentioned, all of Israel was waiting for the Messiah as well because of the oppression of the Roman Empire. It was just so much to bear. So the people, they were waiting for this promised deliverer, the one who would make all things right, the one who would reestablish Israel as a military power. So you would think that as Jesus was born, that God would send the angel to maybe political authorities, right? Such as Caesar Augustus or possibly Herod. Or if not to the political leaders of the day, then to the religious leaders, right? Of the day, the chief priests, the teachers of the law. I mean, that would be how we would announce Jesus at his birth, right? But we're not God. We're not God, and that was not at all God's plan. Let's look at Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8 now. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Church, the birth announcement of God's Son, Jesus, was made to ordinary people doing ordinary things on what started out to be a very ordinary day. Now, may that describe you in many of your days and mine? Well, if so, may I let you know this morning that God is interested in you. He is interested in you, and that God, he has a word for you. He has a word for you today. He is ready to speak to you today, little ordinary you. And in fact, he is ready to speak to you and I, little ordinary us, every day through his word, through the Bible, through the leading of the Holy Spirit, and through his many times still small voice, while at other times louder voice. Never doubt that. The Christmas story testifies to that. Never doubt that. Never doubt that he cares for you. And he wants to communicate with ordinary you. And so this angel announced to the shepherds, and this announcement is for you and I today, that Jesus' birth, did you hear it? Jesus' birth would bring great joy for all the people. And let me inform you that joy, do you know what? Joy is different than happiness. Because while happiness 24/7 may not be attainable or even a reasonable goal, and let me just plainly say it, it is not a reasonable goal. Joy, church, on the other hand, can be, and it is. I mean, consider a second a definition of each. Happiness is the mental or emotional state of positive or pleasant feelings. While joy, on the other hand, is the experience of calm delight. It's the experience of calm delight and gladness that you can have, I can have, even in the middle of difficult circumstances. In other words, when life doesn't feel like it, right? When life doesn't feel like you could have delight or gladness, joy makes that possible. God makes that possible. And he makes it possible because of the hope that we can have in him, that we'll talk about in a second, that we can confidently have in him and what he is doing. So the angel declares, he declares that a Savior has been born, this long-awaited Messiah, the one who will bring great joy to all the people, declares the angel, has now arrived. So church, I say it again, the wait is over. And it has been for 2,000 plus years. 2,000 plus years since Jesus was born. The wait is over. So the question is, what are you? What am I? What is this world, this weary world? What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for to either recognize him initially, like for the first time, and to come to him from our heart to his and confess who he is, the Savior of the world? What are you waiting for to recognize that? Or what are you and I waiting for to receive more of him, to go and to grow deeper and deeper in a relationship with him, deeper and deeper in trust of him? What on earth are we waiting for? What on earth? Because near the end of Jesus' life, do you know what? He gathered with his closest followers, teaching them. And you know what? I've always imagined this teaching part that we're going to look at to be a huge part, maybe the huge part of Jesus' final instructions. In other words, what I feel that he felt his disciples and us needed to know, because it is at this personal time together with them that Jesus speaks these words. And you've probably heard them. John 14:6. He said, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And then he said, no one comes to the Father except through me. Now in that, I hear the words, loud and clear, I hear the words, the wait is over. It's over. Through Jesus' birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension back to the Father, where it says, mind you, that he is what? He is interceding for you. He is representing you and I in front of God the Father so you can be forgiven, so you can be made whole, so you can be back in relationship with God, in good standing with God. God the Father, who, mind you, can't reject the Son. He can't deny Jesus, who is interceding for you. So if your faith is in him, that's what God is seeing. Because God the Father loves and is, in fact, Jesus the Son. Oh, and by the way, God the Father, he is for you too. He just can't be in the presence of sin. He just can't be. So he so desires to welcome you, which is accomplished when you accept Jesus' work on the cross and his work in the grave to forgive you. So the path, I'm just telling you this morning, the path has been paved. It's been paved for you. It's been paved for all. For the angel declared all. So again, the path has been paved for you to be with God and for God to be with you, both now and for eternity. So I ask again, what are you waiting for? What? What are you waiting for? Are you waiting for joy? Well, through Jesus, you can have joy. And through Jesus, you possess the ability to cultivate joy and all-surpassing joy. In him, we have the ability to allow him to cultivate joy right within us. Happiness, again, it's here today, it's gone tomorrow, but through Jesus, you can have and you will have if you surrender to him and continue that act of surrender to him, you will have lasting joy. Or maybe you're waiting for hope. Are you waiting for hope? And I just got to be real, okay? In my life, Jesus is my source of hope. The hope for a better world, the hope for life after death, the hope that relationships and people can be healed, and the hope that through Jesus, that though he once came, that he, as he promises, he will come again. He's coming again. He's coming again to make all things new. He's coming again to create a new and a perfect existence for us, those of us who have accepted Christ. A place, think about it, a place where there will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. Because the word tells us, Revelation 21:4, the old order of things, the old order that we currently live in a broken by sin world, that will have passed away one day. If you are looking for hope, church, it is found in Jesus. If you are waiting for hope, church, it is found in Jesus and his plan. Or maybe you're not waiting for joy or hope, but maybe are you waiting for peace? Are you waiting for that? Well, then look at John 14:27 with me for a second. Peace I, said Jesus, peace I leave with you. My peace, he said, I give to you. And then he clarifies for us, because the peace of the world and what the world offers us, it is temporary and it disappoints. So our Savior, he clarifies for us this. He says, listen to him. He says, I do not give to you as the world gives. In other words, he says, my peace, I'm just telling you folks, my peace, says Jesus, it just hits different. That's what he says. So he continues. Do you know what he says after that? He says, Do not let your hearts be troubled. You don't have to live there anymore. He says, do not be afraid. You don't have to live there anymore. I'm just saying, if you are waiting to experience lasting and true peace from the troubles and the fears of life, you can. You can and you will find it through Jesus. You will find it nowhere else but through Jesus. Now, in saying that, you got to hear me. I am not saying that the daily issues that you or I face will absolutely go away. But what I am saying, church, is that through Jesus, you can have peace. You can have peace as you walk through them, as you don't walk through them alone, but with Him. And as you follow His prescribed path to walk through them as you wait, as you await that promised return, you got to understand, we just live in the in-between times. Someone had to. We live in the in-between times, and He has chosen you and I. He's chosen us for that lot. So accept it. Embrace it. Embrace Him. For He is, I'm telling you, He is and He knows the way. He is and He knows the way, and He invites you to join Him on the way, including on the way to peace. So in short this morning, know that Jesus has come. He has come. That's what we celebrate this Christmas season. He has come, but don't just know that. He has come and He is waiting for you. He's waiting for me. He's waiting for us all. He's waiting for the world to walk with Him. To walk with Him through the highs and through the lows of this life. And the eternal life that He promises and He offers to you, all of which, I got to tell you, all of which begins as soon as you accept Him as your Savior. It is at that point, church, and from that point forward, that you can experience His presence every day of your life, starting now. Starting now and going through all of eternity. Think about that. And I just want to say in closing that, you know what? Some of you, and this may sting a little bit, but I love you enough to sting you. Some of you have been attending church for Christmas for years. And maybe even at other times throughout the year. But you have never accepted Christ. And you have never accepted fully that He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life. Even though, mind you, you know, because I lived there for a long time, you know something just ain't right. You know something is off with how your life has been going. Well, maybe, just maybe it's time to try Him. Maybe it's just time to try more of His ways out. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Now, if you've got some questions about Him, including Christmas, I just want to let you know I have a few of these out in the foyer for you. And these are really for those of you who are on the fence about Him, okay? But are willing to investigate Him more. This is called Why Christmas. So if that's you, please grab one out in the foyer, okay? On your way out. And I just got to say, don't be embarrassed or whatever to take one of these, okay? Because none of us, me included, none of us came to a personal faith in Christ without questions. Questions are good. God can handle them.